proud to follow West Yorkshire football.
BBC Radio Leeds.
So it's a good evening and a happy new year to Adam Pope, Catherine Hanna and Paul Ogden. Hello all.
Hello.
Happy new year.
And we'll be hearing from Dave Fletcher a little later on regarding issues at Bradford City. I suppose the first question is it a happy new year for Leeds United and Huddersfield Town with your respective hats on? Oggy, overall over the Christmas period, two crucial league games and a FA Cup game and a partridge in a pear tree?
Very strange Christmas, guys. Good evening, all. Fantastic against Bolton. Really deserved to win. Quite good for 86 minutes against Rotherham, but we came on feeling like we'd been beaten. And Saturday's cup tie felt as if it was a game that should have been played behind closed doors. It was almost like an experiment between the two managers. Not that they intended that, but it was so flat, there was no pace to it and very little quality. Very strange Christmas indeed.
Popey. Miserable Christmas for Leeds.
Well, I wanted them to get 4 points out of those league games, of the three games, and they ended up with one. And yeah, it was difficult, and I think it's just gone to really to expose, well, certainly ahead of yesterday's game against Sunderland, sort of some deficiencies in the squad. Although I feel a bit better despite the defeat yesterday that there are players now that can step up, having been out in the cold, to hopefully rescue what is a difficult period at the moment.
So I think our plan of attack is we'll talk about the FA Cup games, particularly for Huddersfield and Leeds now quickly, and then we'll start moving on to the meatier issues, I think, of transfers, the upcoming league games, because that's where the real issues are. And I suppose that is the point, Catherine. Firstly, are we that bothered? Leeds and Huddersfield are out of the FA Cup at the third round stage. They have bigger dragons to slay this year.
No, not particularly. I think if I was a Huddersfield fan, I'd be fuming because it was just such a flat performance on Saturday. And having Chris Powell said, we want to attack it, it's a winnable game, we'd like to try and progress, and then to come out and put in a performance that just seemed like everybody couldn't really be bothered. I'm sure that's not the case, but I'd be particularly frustrated if I was a Town fan that had paid to watch that on Saturday. For Leeds, it's a difficult argument, isn't it? It's one of those that sometimes a good run can revitalise a poor season, but to be honest, you know, there was never a huge deal of optimism they were going to beat Sunderland. Quietly, I was a bit concerned they might get absolutely battered, which they didn't, and came away with quite a lot of positives from the game yesterday. So I don't think it matters unduly.
Well, Popey, is that for Leeds United? I think there was a concern, particularly with the changes he made, that they could be hammered, and being knocked out of the FA Cup by Sunderland is no disgrace. If you got hammered, it could really continue to knock on the bad league form. But do you actually think they go out of the FA Cup with their heads held high and actually positivity going into the league games?
I think
there
were a lot of positives to come out of it, but they will only be so if whoever has come in and done a job yesterday, to an extent, if they are asked to do so again on Saturday, that they go and prove that they can do it in the Championship against a side that you've got to say is above, but in and amongst, like Birmingham will be, and no doubt Huddersfield will be by the end of the month when those three are played. I think, thankfully, Bournemouth isn't on the cards now because they're in FA Cup action. I know Catherine disagrees with me there at the timing of it, but I think these three games are really important. So, overall, I think there are positives to be taken out of it, yes. But
team selection is going to be fascinating on Saturday away at Bolton as to what he does now, because I thought he was going to make changes, but to make seven changes yesterday was probably twice the amount that I thought he would make. Yeah. I thought he might rest Cook and Mowat in midfield and maybe, you know, one or two. You'd aim for maybe three or four changes, but to make seven is really wide-ranging. And the players that he brought in, a lot of them came away with an awful lot of credibility. So who goes straight back in? He kind of made the point to you post-match, Neil Redfern, that nobody's got a divine right to walk straight back into that side. So it will be very interesting to see how he shuffles the pack and if he sticks with a similar formation as well.
Well, that's the other thing as well. 4-2-3-1 yesterday, and you have to say, although they were hanging on defending-wise in the second half, when it was
a bit more attacking,
it was great.
So who pushed the name forward? Who should be considered to start against Bolton?
Well, I think Charlie Taylor will anyway, Cap, won't it? Because it looks like Warnock's ankle ligaments are about. And to be fair, you know, what's going to happen with Stephen Warnock? Is he going to be at the club? Which means he's out of contract. So it is time for Charlie Taylor really to start, you know, having a good look at him now. After that, Rudy Austin, I thought, played, well, probably one of his best games I've seen, certainly in the second half. Of the ones that don't normally come in, I'm a bit... Luke Murphy did some good things for me. But not enough to keep, would you say, Mowat or Cook out?
I wouldn't have said so. For me, it's defence. Del Fabbro and Cooper did quite well in soaking up the pressure from Sunderland. So I think there's an argument to stick with those two at centre.
Sharp impact off the bench, second half, helped turn it around in Leeds' favour. So is that warrant enough for the league? considering he hasn't sparked.
Well, Montenegro isn't ready. We know that.
Yeah.
So would you go Antonucci and Sharp?
Can't play together,
yes.
Can they?
But if you go 4-2-3-1, you're not going to do that, are you? You're going to have a focal point, which was Antonucci, and then DeSharp do...
I think Sharp did more than Di Cara, so if you're going to have the two up front, then Antonucci
would.
And
Sharp. If you keep that formation, then I would start, maybe with Sharp there, certainly. But, hey, there may be a new signing before Saturday, mightn't there?
Do you throw him straight in against Bolton away? That's
I
sink
wouldn't
or swim.
If you don't know what he's like. And if it happens anyway, you've got to be sure that,
Although at this stage, maybe nothing to lose. Throw him in there, he'll get a goal with his first touch and go on to score 20 for the rest of the season.
Oggy, with Huddersfield Town, we've debated for the last couple of weeks, fans and in the media, about this 4-4-2, Vaughan and Wells playing together. Was it a little bit of the weekend, Powell, saying, right, I'm going to show you 4-4-2. If it works, fantastic. If it doesn't, as it probably won't, because I know it isn't, because I know more about football than you idiots in the media talking about it, I'll show you that it doesn't work. And this is how we play when we don't play 4-4-2. Do you think that was him proving the point? And have we seen 4-4-2 doesn't work?
It's an entertaining theory, guys, but I don't think it applies here, I'm afraid. Mainly because I don't think Chris Powell is that devious or vindictive. I think he is a man that just respects his players for what they are and will ask them to go out to do a job. And I'm afraid the terrible truth is, contrary to what Catherine speculated on, I know she didn't mean it, but the players really were trying. It wasn't a question of being bothered. And that is the disastrous news. The end product was very little created up front and a very flat atmosphere created by the match itself. What Chris Powell has got is two rusty strikers for very different reasons. He's not selected Naki Wells much recently and therefore he's missing chances when they come. And James Vaughan is getting back to fitness, but it's a very slow process. And actually, James Vaughan's contributions are more visible in defence from set pieces and clearances away, near post headers away from danger, etc., than they are at the front end of the team. So we go into January hoping for more games as soon as possible. Certainly in my opinion, because you need these guys to get into second and third gear as quickly as possible.
Popey, you were infiltrating the camp the other day and you came on Saturday to watch. I don't know why you'd give up your free Saturday to watch that. But what I thought, in fairness to the two strikers, is they didn't play the right kind of game. They were hoofing balls up, trying to play it from the wings, 30, 35 yards out into the area. OK, maybe if Holt's there, but he's not anymore. It's not Vaughan and Wells' game. Keep it on the floor.
And the one cross that did come in from Bunn, that was of any note.
That was a proper cross.
That was the only time it really sort of looked like it could have went, and Vaughan missed the chance. I've got to say, though, regardless of formation, regardless of who played, that was the flattest anti-FA Cup tie I have seen. From both sides, I thought it was a shocking Cup tie. And it doesn't matter who played, they've got to look at themselves and say, look, that just is not acceptable. Because for those that did go, and there weren't that many, they've got to be very, very disappointed.
Hard for the players, though, in their defence. I agree with Oggy. You can never say, as a professional footballer, you go out onto a pitch and are not trying. I'm sure they were all trying. But you know what it's like? It's that sometimes that post-Christmas, New Year malaise where you just feel a bit out of sorts, and it wasn't a particularly exciting tie. Everybody kind of felt that going into it. It was reflected in the attendance as well. Town fans couldn't get excited about it. And sometimes with the best will in the world, you think that just seeps onto the pitch, and no matter what you do, you just can't quite lift yourselves for it.
West Yorkshire Sport Daily. I'm Gareth Jones with Adam Pope, Catherine Hannah, Paul Ogden, all of you for the first football panel of 2015. As always, thank you for listening and thank you for getting involved. Ace Tipper in Morley regarding Huddersfield Town. I don't think any Huddersfield Town fan will be too concerned at going out of the FA Cup. It's the manner of the defeat that was most concerning. Why were we so poor against an equally poor team? Happy New Year to you. And Oggy, you have a theory on that.
The theory is very simple, guys. We were looking at two poor championship teams up against each other in a match that happened to be an FA Cup tie. If there's anything that I'm losing sleep about off the back of Saturday, guys, it's the fact that it actually could have been a championship game and therefore would have been 3 points lost. It reminded me of the Birmingham City home defeat, which is also a shocker for the spectators. But the whole point is, when the squads, Reading included, got up on Saturday morning, they weren't thinking about the magic of the FA Cup and the glory of possibly going to Wembley. They were worried about whether they were going to be in the team for the next championship match. And that is one of the reasons why the managers didn't make so many changes. Clark brought Guthrie back. Hamill was in the side for Huddersfield Town and Butterfield was given a rest. What Chris Powell, from our point of view, was wondering about was the consequences of possibly picking that kind of team in a match that really mattered because we've got to play Watford on Saturday. We've got to play Middlesbrough away the following Saturday. And flipping out, we've got to host Reading again in a match that's actually worth 3 points. What you looked at was the product of 18th against 16th in the current Championship table. Two sides with significant problems.
Some of your tweets at WYS Daily concerning all clubs. Johnny regarding Bradford, all about Moraes after signing today. Bantam Pete says, FA Cup fourth round draw, Man United please, which I know is a lot of City fans want. Richard Cosmala says, it was like we made 8 changes at the weekend for Town. So slow, laboured. Seems 1 step forward, 2 steps back all the time. Very frustrating. Richard says, not good enough for Huddersfield. Nigel Mark says, O'Grady for Town. And Town not clinical. None on target, says Ian. Very, very dire, Nemo. And I think that's the big frustration, that there was just no entertainment. Talking about the FA Cup and saying it was a flat game, Championship side against Championship side, uninspiring. I heard someone on another national radio station this morning talking about trying to recreate a bit of the magic of the FA Cup. Seed all the Premier League sides so they don't play each other. And I would go as far as say, seed the Championship clubs. So you're guaranteed... Yeah. Premier League and Championship clubs won't meet and they'll all play sides from League One
Nonsense.
And down.
Absolutely, categorically not.
Why?
Because part of the beauty of the FA Cup is that anybody can play anybody. It's not seeded.
No, it's not in the seeded rounds. They seed early on.
What? I don't follow that line of argument. You want the opportunity that anybody who progresses through can play anybody that's involved in the competition. Yeah. And part of the good thing for me is that you can get two Premier League teams together and therefore at an early stage one of them can get knocked out. So you've seen before that Manchester United draw Liverpool and everybody's thinking, great, well that means that there's one less of them that we potentially could come up against. And I like that element of it. I think you were saying earlier there's so many different cup competitions where there is a seeded element of some kind.
Every cup competition has got seeded, whether it's be geographically, whether it be a proper seeding, whether it be European teams are out. This is the one that doesn't happen to, and that's the
and
beauty
that's
of it. And if and
Minnow
doesn't,
and
make
that's
it
why it's boring. The FA Cup's boring.
It's not boring.
It's
that's devalued. Rubbish. You tell me any Bradford City fan who thinks the FA Cup is boring after going to Millwall. You tell me any of the 5,500 Leeds fans
that
went to the Stadium of Light.
Yeah, because you've proved my point. Because
that's not proving the point at all. You're talking about them seeding each other.
You would not have Manchester United against Leeds. Because Manchester would have to be away from home, according to the argument of that person you were talking about.
The lower league team could choose, but it's the actual fixture.
Garbage.
That we're talking
garbage.
About.
Garbage. Absolute garbage.
I think it's nonsense.
So you look down those, the BBC's list of
upsets. Huddersfield Reading was really exciting.
Hereford, Newcastle.
Yeah, but that's more a reflection of Huddersfield and Reading than it is a reflection of the end.
It's boring for both clubs. No one's bothered about it.
Most ties
are. If, say, Leeds, Sunderland, yeah, both teams were up for it because of what it created. Oggy, your view?
Just a reminder, you're listening to Question Time on BBC Radio Leeds.
Oh, it's the election year.
I'm with you every time, Gaz, insofar as the FA Cup means one thing. Whether you're a Premier League or a Blyth Spartans, it means something different, a change. And if you did have a seeded system in the early rounds, you're guaranteed, almost, to come up against an opponent that you wouldn't otherwise do in your regular competition. I'd try it for a year. I'm not convinced.
No.
But I'd certainly try it for a year because you're guaranteed something different and we might at last be able to plan your stag night around Dover Athletic against Huddersfield Town somewhere in northern France afterwards.
Granted, you would get the kind of West Brom scorelines, but equally, you'll get 20 potentially intriguing fixtures, which we didn't get 20 in the third round this year.
But then you'll
it's the look of the draw, though, isn't it? That's the beauty of it, that you never quite know. And yeah, all right, every year there's going to be a couple of ties that you think, oh, God, that was quite boring. But equally, it's just that unknown quantity, you know.
Like Hull, Arsenal coming out, great,
boring.
Two Prems.
Boring.
Won't get,
they play each other, and you're
thinking, great, last year's final will not be repeated now, which is fantastic. If you do it your way, then you've got a great chance of like all the Premier League fans making their way through.
All the big teams meet anyway in the later rounds.
No, you've got Sheffield at the moment, in the semi-final of the Capital One. I know that's it, but they're now they're now through. Yeah, against QPR, fantastic
QPR
result.
Versus a League One club, that system works.
But then that's the beauty of it.
But that was the randomness of it, though. That's what works.
If you start to, you want more of those, though.
If you start to force that scenario, then it loses some of the joy of when that kind of tie comes out. If you guarantee that that's the kind of draw that's going to come out every single time. You're not trying to tell me that if it gets to...
The joy of the FA Cup.
If the fourth round draw is made tonight... And shut up. If Man United draw Man City, that people won't go... Blimey, that'll be a cracking tie. And both sides of both teams will want to watch that tie. They'll be equally excited about it.
I'm in total agreement with you.
I don't think
you
can start mucking about with that.
Talking rubbish.
Your opinion, mate.
We are right.
The Premier League clubs should be in the first round, not the third round, and so should the Championship clubs. We should have the intriguing ties in the minnows against the big boys earlier than we already do. Guarantee it.
And Shane Chambers says the same thing, talking about seeding the FA Cup. Why not introduce all teams from round one? No.
I think that's better.
You're very traditional, aren't you, Popey?
You don't like change.
I
would rather have that and keep it random and go in at first qualifying round proper, if you like. Or first round proper. I would rather have that than any form of seeding in the FA Cup.
Even that starts to get difficult, though, because how many teams are involved from day one? Before you even get to the first round, there's some of these teams that have played 7 FA Cup qualifiers to even get to round one. Mm. So if you start to say, can we introduce everybody all in at the first phase, then... I don't think you can argue that, because otherwise you'd just have all in from, you'd have Tad Albion playing Man United.
And then they'd obviously play at Old Trafford, wouldn't they?
Fantastic.
I know what you mean, but I just think it ain't broke. Don't fix it. It doesn't need fixing. It's fine as it is.
They messed about when Man U went and played
just because you've sat through one
FA
tedious
Cup
match on
not,
Saturday.
FA Cup is not broke. I think we could debate that for an hour as well.
No,
this is only meant to be a really quick throwaway
point.
It's far
better than any other cup competition we have in this country.
And
the Capital One and whatever. It's far better for the way it is, and it's the one that everybody talks about. Any of the foreign players that come out, they want to play in the FA Cup. I can tell you that.
It was only meant to be a quick throwaway line. West Yorkshire Sports on BBC Radio Leeds. What are your thoughts on that? Popey, Catherine, Algie and I aren't going to be talking for the next week now. 81333 the text number. Start your message with the letters WYS or tweet us at WYS Daily. Let's talk more about actual Leeds and Huddersfield in terms of... We've only got 5 minutes left of Oggy, so let's talk with Town about signing players. Oggy, what is the latest with things we've seen today? Town again, or you kind of mentioned it on Saturday, actually, rebuffing any suggestions that Town will be selling Vaughan to Burnley. Sordell, they were talking about maybe going the other way. And interestingly, Chris Powell is watching Burnley at Spurs tonight in the FA Cup. Who could he be watching?
How fascinating.
That Harry Kane, he needs game time in the Championship.
Listen, anything is possible, guys. All I said on Saturday is that the club weren't giving us any specific comment on the rumours, and there have been newspaper talk for quite a long time that James Vaughan is being targeted by Burnley. But there's so many discussions that go on behind closed doors that nobody ever finds out about. I mean, Danny Ings, I think, could have been signed by Huddersfield Town a couple of years ago, even before Burnley got back in the Premier League. Burnley were punting him around, before he started scoring the goals that got him promotion from the Championship last season. So there might be something there. There might be something in the Sordell Vaughan, insofar as agents might be suggesting this sort of thing and telling tabloid journalists about it. Therefore, it ends up in the public domain, guys. But whether the chief executive of both respective clubs, Huddersfield Town and Burnley, would be seriously interested in that kind of deal, no one will ever know until it happens. Vaughan's under contract for another couple of seasons. Town have got a commodity there. And I must say, the business-like way in which Huddersfield Town is run, I really do think that everything's got its price. If somebody makes them a daft offer for James Vaughan, and Vaughan really convinces the chairman that he wants to go, then that might happen, whoever or whatever comes in the opposite direction. But at the moment, I don't see any big stories happening. I see Huddersfield Town balancing the books. I'm sure they will make one or two acquisitions if they can on their terms. But at the moment, it will probably involve somebody going out first, whether it's to the same club that Huddersfield Town acquire from. Chris O'Grady might be available. Jonathan Stead's back for the moment, isn't he? And until he leaves permanently for Bradford or somebody else, that's another striker on your book. So I'm not expecting another record signing, I must say that, guys, compared to this time last year when Naki Wells was signed. But Huddersfield Town have got contacts in all sorts of places.
Oggie, I'm just intrigued as to where your rumours are coming from, because the rumour I'd heard was that Burnley were actually looking at Wells, not Vaughan. And would that not make more sense in a way?
And we spoke to Naki Wells' family, who were very, very lovely.
Yeah, they were brilliant. That was a great chat, by the way.
But what stuck out is his father, I forget his name, was it Michael?
Yeah.
What didn't sound convinced that Huddersfield Town would be a long-term club for Naki Wells.
He said he wanted to be playing at the highest level, which as any professional footballer you would do. But I've heard that it would be Wells that Burnley would be interested in rather than Vaughan, which, given Vaughan's current injury record, and as you say, Oggy's got a couple of years left on his contract, for all Huddersfield signed him for a lot of money, he's not been playing regularly, sort of player that Burnley potentially might go for.
Equally, Oggy, you made the point on Saturday, we must remember that scouts do actually come and look at the team where they might send their loan players.
Yeah,
so if you've got a Burnley loanee potentially going to Huddersfield Town, a scout will come and look as well, Oggy. So it's difficult to read certain amounts into different things.
Manchester United had a scout at Huddersfield Town on Saturday as well. They might be vetting the club as somewhere to house one of their young players in future. The thing about Naki Wells as well, Catherine, you're dead right, is that Burnley were looking at him when Bradford were thinking of selling him. This time last year, Burnley, I think, were in the market for Wells, but they were still in the Championship at the time. And, you know, you talk about Michael Wells, the gentleman, Naki's dad, who we spoke to on Saturday, and how open he was about Naki's long-term ambitions. Huddersfield Town are well aware where Naki Wells wants to go in the future. And you know what the evidence for that is? The length of his contract. He signed a massive length contract when he joined Town last season. And that is because Huddersfield Town want to protect their asset. Every single player on the books is a commodity. And if somebody comes in with a price for him that they like, and the player convinces the board that, you know, his mind is beginning to wander elsewhere, Town will sell him if the money's right.
We'll discuss this much more in the next half an hour on the Football Panel. Talk about transfers at Leeds United. Hi to Mike in Morley, who says the game was very poor because no one got excited, as they see the same kind of teams on a weekly basis, talking about Town versus Reading. There is no harm giving it a try, seeding the teams. Try the preliminaries, keep the preliminaries the same, round one proper, but everybody is in it. Fun ties, new teams, money for everybody. But Neil and Keithley says, totally mad wanting to do seeding teams. Stick to rugby union, Jones, a subject you know something about. I do know nothing absolutely about football, but proves that's what this show's about, what the panel's about, having debate and having everyone's views. Keep them coming.
2015 is another action-packed year of West Yorkshire sport.
And as always, BBC Radio Leeds has it all covered for you.
The Football League and Conference campaign rolls into the second half of the season.
Chance for Antonucci for a second.
Yes!
It in!
With commentary of every Leeds United and Huddersfield Town match and selected coverage of FC Halifax Town.
It's a new era for rugby league with a new competition structure.
Support on the inside and the Giants will score!
We bring you more Super League commentaries and more coverage of the Championship divisions than anyone else.
We have ball-by-ball commentary of every match of the 2015 cricket season as Yorkshire defend their Championship crown.
Taylor's down the track. There it is! Yorkshire have done it!
Rugby Union's Championship concludes with Yorkshire Carnegie chasing the playoffs.
And a new annual professional bike race makes its debut, the Tour de Yorkshire.
West Yorkshire Sport, BBC Radio Leeds.
And this is the Monday Football Panel. Adam Pope, Catherine Hannah, myself, Gareth Jones. Oggy's left us now. Dave Fletcher will be with us a little later on, talking about Bradford City. More of your three-word reviews. Thank you for this. Boris, the Irish White for Leeds. Hope for future. Kevin, the Town fan, far too inconsistent. Liam, another one for City, all about Moraes. Asher, who is also a City fan, in the hat. Richard, lack of desire for Town and concentrate on relegation. Jimmy Lyons, who I believe is a Leeds fan, adds, says, boring, boring Town. Positively, Shaman, up this time. Yeah, it seems a while since Halifax have had a game, isn't it? And they won't have won the league for another few weeks. Punching above weight, Jed, the Huddersfield fan. And more frustration, Simon, again, the Town fan. Rick Dave, what was that, again, regarding Huddersfield Town? Let's talk about Leeds United and maybe signing some players. This is what Neil Redfern had to say to Popey yesterday following the defeat to Sunderland.
What we've got to do is, I think, we've got to make sure that we're settled and we've got to freshen it up. We had a little bit of a renaissance, you know, with the Diamond, and, you know, we've got some results and we've got everything upbeat, and then it needed some help. You know, it needed some players coming in. Now, if players coming in is the change, you know, change of faces, then if that's it, then then so be it. But sometimes you've got to freshen things up during the course of the season. We tried to get some stability. You know, it got us so far. It had a shelf life.
Any news you can tell us on players coming in at the moment now?
I've spoke to Massimo. I've mentioned the British based players that, you know, I think would help us. You know, would help. He's got his ideas. You know, with the players that he thinks might help us. The good thing from today is that, you know, we've got players that's come in and really performed well. You know, that have been out of the picture. And like you said, it adds to competition. Now, you know, the players that, you know, have been out of the side today, they've got to think about playing well to stay in or playing well to get in. You know what I mean? So we've got a good headache for the weekend.
So we all know Leeds United need to sign players. It looks like they will sign players, but are Redfern and Chelino's ideas of what they need matching up?
No.
I think you're right, Catherine. Yeah, you're right. I think, you know, you've got Leonardo Pavoletti being lined up to come as a striker. He was the guy that was all set to come in at the last transfer window, and then suddenly his agent started messing about. I understand that can happen again this week. So they're far from done. The other one's René Crin, a midfielder. Mm-hmm. We don't know if these guys can do the championship. We've got no idea at all.
It was very telling for me in that interview that we picked out yesterday. I mean, Noel Whelan talked a bit about it, that you heard Neil Redfern saying, "I've got my ideas of British-based players." He said that time and time again, championship experience. And then he goes on to say, talking about Massimo Cellino, he's got his ideas of players that might help us. It didn't kind of suggest that Neil Redfern's list and Massimo Cellino's list overlap very much, and that's something of a concern for me.
But I think, look, from what I understand, there's been a lot of players wanting to come to Leeds United. I understand that. And also, I think, obviously, the trick is here is if you've got Nicolas Salerno and Neil Redfern, Nicolas and the sporting director, looking at players and they're coming up with ideas, and if they're matching each other somewhere, they think, okay, that's fine, then I think they've got more of a chance of saying, Massimo, sign it off, will you please? I think that's key. So that's got to be brought, that thinking has got to be brought together, because what you don't want is you've got Neil doing one thing, Salerno doing another, and Cellino doing his. Somewhere it's got to be sort of pulled together, hasn't it? And the list surely will overlap at some point. But at the moment, you know,
it's just the names that Leeds have been linked with are not the sort of names that you imagine that Neil Redfern would be keen to bring in. And he's emphasised that despite where Leeds are in the table, that he feels he's got the backing of Massimo Cellino. Yeah. If that's the case, please, please, Massimo Cellino, listen to what Neil Redfern is saying to you. If you're going to stick with Neil Redfern as coach, which is so important to the end of the season, now there's got to be some stability no matter what you think of Redfern, but listen to what he's saying. Fair enough, have your input, have your say, make your suggestions. But if Neil Redfern, as the coach of Leeds United, is saying, I would like some British-based players with championship experience, then please just give him a couple.
Trust the coach.
Trust the coach. Been involved
in the English games.
We know that the players that have come in so far, in the they've done all right, but at the moment they're not doing so good. And we're talking particularly about the players that have come from abroad. They've not been great just lately. You have to say that, although Del Fabbro had a good start, I thought, yesterday in the main. So even if the players involved that are going to come in have had championship experience, they might not be there at the moment, then that's what you need. And hopefully they can get to some sort of, you know, some synergy when it comes to making some signs. Let's say, because they can do them, I hope it's this week, but don't forget the window's open for 4 weeks.
On your three-word reviews, Oliver says one half team. That's regarding Leeds, but it changed around this time. They performed second half, not first.
Well, but I thought the first half wasn't as bad as some people made out, because I thought they defend, although they were hanging on, and it could have been worse. They were hanging there, but they were blocking stuff and what have you. And it's a Premier League side, don't forget. Second half, fantastic the way they went at them. And what it's done for, it's answered a massive question. Are there players who've been out in the cold that can come in and make it a difference or give them a headache? Yes, they can. Some of them can.
Armo says, oh, so close. And George Wood, league, not cup. And on text here, thank you to Kevin Wilson from Cottingley, who's a Leeds fan. Really good debate about the seeding in the FA Cup. Total rubbish, of course. We don't want to start messing about with things, otherwise we might end up like rugby league, where they change the rules, both of the game and the competition, every season. We don't want the shambles in the beautiful game. Kevin, thank you for that. Keep your thoughts coming. Text 81333. Start your message with WYS or tweet us at WYS. Daily.
It's just going to be fascinating as to what he does now, I think, at Bolton. And really, I think this month is going to be absolutely crucial for Leeds United's season going forward, because by the end of January, we'll have a better idea if they've managed to finally start with a bit of consistency, get a result against Bolton, get a result against Birmingham. Then there's the Derby match. Equally, we'll know what's happening with the transfer situation as well, who's coming in.
if it gets to the end of January and Leeds are still losing matches and have brought in a load of players that you're thinking, oh, yeah, crikey, here we go, Google, it could be a very, very worrying end of the season, which I do not want.
Lily says, after the Sunderland game, have real hope for the upcoming games for Leeds United. Not so negative fan, improved second half. Stuart, regarding the FA Cup debate, how much more money would go into the grassroots football if Premier sides joined in round one? While Oldham, Rob, hi to you. How many points for Leeds from the next three games is hopeful and realistic? So they've got Bolton, Birmingham, the Bournemouth game's gone now because that'll clash with the FA Cup weekend, and then, of course, Huddersfield at the end of the month. All games you'll hear, of course, on BBC Radio Leeds. So from those three,
well, you could
six.
You could never,
at least.
I think they do need six. Yeah, and I can't. You can never call a derby game. I mean, it's been great at home, but you know, Town have done well. Although I know Leeds had won under Warner, didn't they? But yeah, you can't call that one. So they need. Yeah, they do need six, to be quite honest. Yeah,
because
so
their teams around them as well, it'll make it look even worse. Yeah, I know we don't use 6-point relegation battles yet, but look significant when you lose those games.
6 points
from
nine.
Going back to the transfers with Leeds United, transfers out are probably as big as the transfers in. And you mentioned about Stephen Warnock, who's injured at the moment, but how does I know they've been looking to get him off the books for a while, but he's an experienced head, which all the fans are saying they need, and he's one of the most informed players. Would you be shooting yourself in his currently injured foot if he went?
The difficulty is that he's had such a good season that suddenly a player that people would probably have forgotten about is attracting interest from elsewhere. And so if he gets an improved deal from a Championship club who are higher up the table, would he be daft to, you know, as much as Leeds would miss him hugely and should, in my view, be fighting to keep hold of him or offer him a better deal, perhaps, if it looks like he could go? Could you blame him as a player if somebody, you know, who's looking at a playoff position comes and says, yeah, we'll give you a 2-year deal, on you go?
The thing is, Charlie Taylor will become the left back, it would appear, and I think I've got no qualms about that. But Stephen Warnock has been excellent this season, but in the summer, were we thinking, would he be a captain material and all that sort of thing? We probably weren't. It was Jason Pitts was the only name there. But he's been outstanding this season. However, you've got to think of the other underlying thing here, the financial stability of the club. And Chiellini is working, we know, if you want to call it tight, whatever, but he's trying to get it to a position where the wage structure is much better. I don't think Stephen Warnock, I don't know what his wages are, but I don't think he'll fit anywhere near that structure. So I can see them running down his contract and then, you know, let's see in the summer. I don't see him being offered anything yet. I might be wrong, but and if somebody does come in and offer Stephen, you know, a year and a half contract now or a 2-year contract that sees him through, he's 33, just turned 33, then are Leeds really going to go, well, we'll offer you the same? I don't think they will.
Who else might go?
Austin.
In January?
Yeah, yeah. He's out of contract in the summer, isn't he?
Some people want to keep him at the club, I think.
And such a frustrating player because he had a great game yesterday, but equally can be the most annoying footballer you've ever seen.
Derby wasn't great, was he?
Where you just think, what are you doing?
But at that base, because that too, with him and Murphy together, he was almost unplayable, not in the sense of, you know, attacking and what have you, but he was because they couldn't get him off the ball, and his passing was far better yesterday.
He seems a better player when he's been dropped for a bit and then has to come back in to prove a point, and then he has an outstanding four games. You go, yes. And then he goes again. He gets dropped, then he comes back. He kind of seems like one of those where needs to have a point to prove to get the best out of him. Having played so bad at Derby, maybe that's why we saw that against Sunderland.
I tweeted that out yesterday saying he's having a great game, man on a mission, and the amount of replies that came back saying yes, he's looking to get out and trying to impress because he thinks that somebody else will be coming in.
Well,
I know he's
been asking for a while about his future at Leeds, but again, if we're wanting Championship experience players, you've got to think he's got 66, I think, appearances now for Leeds. You know, you don't, if you're losing Warnock as well, say, whether it be through injury or say he does go, and then there's other players that are out the scene at the moment, Jason Pearce at the moment, and, you know, hoping that he'll be fit soon so that there's a bit more, contenders for that centre-back berth, then you start to lose a lot of Championship experience within the squad already if you're not careful.
Your thoughts, keep them coming on BBC Radio Leeds 81333. Start your message with WYS. Tweet us at WYS Daily before Mark Forrest takes over at 7, then Russell Walker at 10. Then we do it all again tomorrow morning. Steve Bailey from 5, then Liz Green live from 6, and Richard Stead at 9 o'clock. Hi to Dave in Barnsley. Hey up, Gaz, and Happy New Year to you all. Happy New Year, Dave. Hopeful but doubtful regarding new signings this week for Leeds, as daily updates indicate little progress. Just wonder, too, if the good performances yesterday of those previously considered fringe players has muddied the waters about who moves out to finance fresh blood. PS, FA Cup has already been ruined. Oh, for the days of Saturday fixtures, replays and the draw on Monday lunchtime. Yes, in a little velvet bag when it used to be in a fake kind of study, didn't it? At FA, headquarters. That was when the draw... And who was it? Kelly? Was it a really squeaky
Graham
voice?
Kelly, yeah.
I do agree with that. It's a bit ridiculous that they've spread it out over 5 days. I thought it was the last one tonight, but there's more to
Everton West Ham tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah. In their credit, I think the BBC have done a decent job of trying to make the draw a bit more of an event, bringing it back to Monday tea time when more people are likely to be there to be able to see it.
It's actually 98 games Austin's played, by the way, and it's 60 odd for Warnock. So that's if we were to lose both those players, that's a lot of games, isn't it? A lot of championship experience. Yeah.
The Monday football panel, the first for 2015, been fairly spicy so far, just the way I like it. I'm like Jonathan Hogg, like going around the pitch and just kicking people. The way to do it, the old David Batty style.
At least he made us a bit entertaining. I don't mean to send him off, but he was, first half, he was putting his foot in.
They'll miss him at the weekend. Adam Pope, Catherine Hannah, myself, Gareth Jones, we will talk about Bradford City in a moment. Hear Dave Fletcher's thoughts on that. He was at Millwall along with a great City away following. Remember, Wednesday, first Wednesday of every month, Tom and Don with our Bradford City special. So they are here this month and they are selecting their central midfielders for their greatest ever Bradford City 11. So tune in for that on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Just finishing off Leeds United, Cooper played with Del Fabbro at the back and was named captain. Is he now Leeds United's first choice centre-back and everyone else is fighting to play next to him?
Hard to say, because it's swapped and changed so many times. I quite like Cooper, but equally he's quite prone to the odd clangor every now and again.
Thought he did well yesterday, though, Catherine.
He had to
like master the defence, of which, strange enough, he was probably the most experienced, being at 23. Yeah. When you look who played there yesterday, and I thought him and Del Fabbro, there was one scary moment where they got a bit mixed up, but I thought he did a good job. He loved it. I think he took to the mantle pretty well. He spoke really well afterwards. Genuinely proud to do so, and I think he's an intelligent guy. Hopefully he's learning to play when he needs to play and then defend when he needs to defend. And there were signs that he was yesterday, because he's a bit of a baller as well, isn't he? He can play a bit. And hey, how lucky not to have got an equaliser and put it into a replay. I like him. I think left-sided centre-back, he's got the shirt right now. And at the moment, it's hard to pick anybody over him in that position.
Yeah, it'll be better for a bit of consistency as well. Because as I say, they seem to be swapping and changing it around every other week for various different reasons. So if he'd got a regular centre-back partner, I think that'd do him the power of good.
Is the new year, if your New Year's resolution is to listen to BBC Radio Leeds, well, thank you. And I must remind you that we have exclusive FM commentary of every Leeds United game, 92.4 FM and 103.9 FM, exclusive commentary of every town game on 774 AM and DAB Digital Radio. And we started over Christmas putting preview videos up.
Oh, yeah.
So if you haven't seen those yet, they normally go up Friday lunchtime into the afternoon. We tweet the links out, but you can see them on facebook.com/BBC Radio Leeds and YouTube, talking all team news and tactics and transfers ahead of the weekend game involving our particular club.
So now available in widescreen after Christmas.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not for you, Catherine,
we'll
but for the other ones.
We've already been asked something to do in post-match as well. I thought,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, thank you that no one's slagged us off too much and been too harsh with them. And we will keep doing them. Please keep watching them. We will keep doing them and hopefully you find them useful and entertaining. Danny on Twitter, hi to you. In the pot for Bradford City. Ball 19 tonight at 7:30.
Okay.
Draw. Congratulations, Bradford City. Dave Fletcher can't be with us live through the magic of pre-record. He was there the other day. This is what he made to the Millwall game. Really, should we talk about Bradford City being in the FA Cup fourth round draw outright?
Three-word reviews. Should have won. Must win replay. Man United away. They'd be the perfect nine words to sum up the weekend, really.
You've taken all my questions, so thank you. That's it now. You can go.
But yes, they should have, really. Having taken an early lead, they were pegged back. They showed really good character, because then they went behind in the second half, having been second best at that stage. And you're just thinking, well, Millwall will go on and win this now. Then all of a sudden, the free cone goal, they get another one, they go 3-2 up, and they really could have prevented the final goal. They could have brought the lad down close to the halfway line, reorganised and been able to defend it properly, but the foul wasn't committed, the professional foul wasn't committed on the halfway line, and Millwall got an equaliser. But they'll fancy the chances in the replay, I'm sure.
I know this probably won't be an issue, or Phil Parkinson will try not to let it be an issue for his team because they're very professional. But for the rest of us, media, fans, etc., bizarrely, would complacency be the biggest risk in the replay, because we are all expecting City to win on home territory?
Yeah, well, most of us were expecting them to win away from home, weren't we, given the respective form of the two teams. Millwall were in dire form, 2 wins in 19 going into the game on Saturday, and Bradford City are now 10 games unbeaten. So the confidence will be good. An awful lot of it, and this is bizarre and it shouldn't happen, but it will hinge on what happens at 7:30 tonight when all those balls are brought out of the, I was going to say hat, we keep saying they're in the hat, they're not, they're in the big plastic bucket big with plastic, the hole in the middle,
yeah.
Aren't they?
Not so romantic.
No, quite as romantic, no. If the draw, they get a big draw, and the odds on that surely are reasonably good, then the pressure on both teams will be massive, because even a club like Millwall in London, they need money just as much as, only just over 5,000 people there for the game on Saturday, which is a poor attendance, really. There'll be far more there at Valley Parade for the replay. There were 1,000 Bradford fans behind the goal, which was a fantastic achievement. Whoever they are drawn against, I think, will determine the amount of pressure on the teams, and there will be no complacency if they do draw Manchester United away, or Manchester City, or Liverpool, or one of the really big teams, assuming that Liverpool get past AFC Wimbledon this evening. Then there will be no complacency, because everybody wants to be involved in a game like that.
As always, we've had some great texts and tweets tonight, but one of my favourites has just come in from Asher regarding Bradford. Not that bad, spelt as in Billy Knot. Very clever, really like that. The man is really on form at the moment. City really should have been through from that first round, deserved to be from that first game, I should say. I can't see any way they'll lose at Valley Parade, which I know I'm probably cursing
them.
Yeah,
you've put
the
mockers on it now. Yeah. But yeah, I'd be confident
so
if
well.
I was a Bradford fan.
Well, they've got all that, you know, very recent momentum and history, and some of the players still from, you know, that have gone and done it already, haven't they, against far better opposition. The thing that shocked me, Millwall saw them the opening day, they were tipped to go down, and I looked at them, and they played really nice stuff and made Leeds look very, very poor on the opening day of the season. To see them where they are, I am shocked. So I fancy Bradford to beat them, yeah.
A lot of City fans, as I've been reading out the last hour, really happy about Philip Moraes finally,
yes,
signed that 2.5-year deal. We've known for months that Phil Parkinson wanted to keep him, and it was all about the finances being right for the chairman. That's been done, 2.5-year deal. When other clubs were starting to sniff around him as well, I know Bolton were looking at him and a few others, because, of course, free agent, and yeah, he had looked at Championship clubs in the summer before he signed for City. Catherine,
yeah,
big signing for City.
Great news for Bradford City fans. And I think there's a few players that they've got on those sorts of contracts that they just need to tie up so they know definitely, yeah, we don't have to worry about you going anywhere else. The big one for me is what happens with Aaron McLean, because of the wages that he's on. If Peterborough end up sending him back to Bradford, then the knock-on effect of that could be huge for just the finances going forwards. We understand that Bradford City and Huddersfield talks are underway about John Stead's future, so they're trying to get that sorted out as well. But yeah, interesting few weeks for Bradford, but it certainly all seems to be going in the right direction at the minute.
And Hansen, having played at the weekend...
Mm-hmm.
Played with Stead up front as well,
yeah,
which you don't think they could work together, but clearly,
yeah,
did work
it,
well.
It is interesting. And the feeling I got from Chris Powell, talking to him on Friday about Stead and Bradford, was that it seemed to be, yeah, look, we're going to sit down and sort out the future. And it looked very much like it would be a Bradford future to me.
Yeah.
Because he said he'd text him and not heard from him.
With Moraes, though, obviously Phil Parkinson wants to sign him because he wants a good player and doesn't want his squad shrinking too much, because that's put a few good youth team players on the bench the other day, but with three key players out at the moment, they are stretched a bit. So he wants to keep him from footballing point of views. Do you think from a club point of view it's about statement as well? Because if you do let Moraes go, then what are your ambitions for the season when you're in the playoffs?
Chance,
now
yeah,
you say, look, we are financially committing to this good player, we're keeping our good players... We mean business.
Yeah, and that good run of form, they're now 10 matches unbeaten, has just come at the perfect time. If you are in the middle of negotiations with agents and talking about, are you going to stay, are you going to go? Well, there's every incentive to stay at Bradford at the moment. They're on a great run. They're up in the playoff positions. Why would you want to go anywhere else unless a team from a higher division comes in, offers loads of money, and then at least, you know, at least you get the benefit of having a bit of cash to spend from that situation.
So City are doing well at the moment. So Dave Fletcher, do they need anything else?
You would have thought he'd perhaps quite like, say, another utility defender, much like Alan Sheen, who could play left-back or centre-back. McArdle can play right-back or centre-back. You need somebody like that who can just slot in as and when. But then again, which player is going to come and under the sort of proviso that, well, you won't get in the starting lineup, but if anybody gets injured, you'll get a game. It's very tricky, isn't it? He may well have to sort the John Stead situation out, sort Moraes out. Once Stead isn't on loan anymore, there's another loan spot, and he can bring somebody else in to cover like that as and when.
How much of it all depends on Mr. McLean?
Well, it's the elephant in the room, isn't it? Everybody seems to have forgotten Erin McLean. He's down at Peterborough. His loan will be coming to an end. Do Peterborough want to keep him? They're not particularly picking up a lot of points. He's not scoring a lot of goals. But from what I understand, he's well-liked down there. The manager likes him. The chairman likes him. The supporters like him. And he feels comfortable at Peterborough, which is where he made his name, really. Bradford City really could do with getting him off the wage bill, or as much of his wages off that wage bill, to allow Phil Parkinson to bring players in. If he comes back, then the whole dynamic changes completely, because there will be very little wriggle room as far as Parkinson's concerned.
I get what, Gaz, I guess what Fletcher's saying and Kevin, but maybe the thing is here, do you take that risk second time around with McLean, if you like, and then, OK, we've got a strong strike force, if they land Stead, take the hit, keep the wages there, you've got Hansen as well, and think, well, maybe I just need somebody there to keep pushing and keep pushing, because they are in with a chance of promotion, quite clearly.
I'm not sure he'd want to come back. I mean, he's played 7 games for Peterborough, he's got 1 goal down there, but as you say, I think he probably feels happier there. So he might well be pushing to try and extend that deal, or his agents might be on his behalf. Would he actually want to come back to Bradford, where I'm sure he would hold his hands up and say, look, it's not been a hugely successful period for me, it didn't go the way I would have wanted. They've obviously got Stead hopefully coming back, and then Hansen doing well, so he knows that he'd probably be down the pecking order as well, that if he doesn't stay at Peterborough, would he perhaps be pushing to go out on loan somewhere else even?
And you mentioned Stead, time's beating us. And now, Powell says the discussions are happening. Phil Parkinson says they are happening, and they want to get something done. I suppose, again, that's about Bradford being able to offer a deal that Stead wants. And again, I suppose the finances being in place for City to give him a deal in contract and money that makes Stead want to go, and Town be happy to let him go.
And would they? And obviously, the whole thing, we know that he's gone and he's injured anyway. And I don't know, it's too early in the window to find out, isn't it, at the moment? The other thing is agents' fees as well. I mean, this is where they start really making their corner. I mean, what's the stance on Bradford? We know what Chiellino's stance is at Leeds, for example. What's Huddersfield's stance? What's Bradford's stance when it comes to agents' fees and someone starts taking the mick over what seems to be a fairly simple deal?
Well,
you know, that they got, that's a huge factor in these things.
It's one of those, isn't it? You have to accept that, unfortunately, it's part and parcel of the game today. You can't cut your nose off to spite your face, but equally, if somebody's making outrageous demands, then I think you have to be strong enough to say,
come on. And often it's not the player, though, is it? You know, often it will be the agent forcing it rather than the player themselves. So.
I think the Stead thing, you say, deals can go to the very end of January, can't they? That's when they typically happen, just before the window closes. But it's a weird scenario now, because Stead's back at Huddersfield training, so City would probably want him back sooner rather than later, although maybe because Hansen's fit and firing, but Clark's still out, so they do need that second striker.
Yeah, I think that deal will be done sooner rather than later.